millimeters and milliseconds. That is what separated this nation from a huge tragedy and what is now hopefully a reawakening and maybe a political reset when it comes to our rhetoric. But there are going to be a lot of tough questions asked in the aftermath of the assassination attempt on Donald Trump over the weekend. Andy Arena is a former special agent in charge of the FBI's Detroit field office. He has been part of the group that does the advance planning when a dignitary comes to visit to Detroit or other major cities, and can hopefully add some light on that kind of planning and the questions that need to be asked in the aftermath. Andy, good morning.
Good morning.
So I got to tell you, one of the things that we've learned in the past 24 hours is that this gunman was spotted without his weapon in the magnetometer area outside of the security perimeter, and he was flagged by local and law enforcement as somebody who was acting suspiciously. When that happens, what happens? I mean, is he put under surveillance, or is it just somebody that they watch his activities? Because obviously something happened between his being flagged and his getting on a roof with a sniper gun.
Yeah, you know, there are a lot of things that should have happened that obviously didn't happen in this situation. But, you know, if law enforcement is alerted, they alert Secret Service, obviously a little more activity should have taken place than what occurred here. I mean, this guy was able to scale up the side of a building that should have been within the security perimeter and was able to, you know, in full sight of a number of people. Get up there and take a shot at the former president of the United States. So, you know, as you said in the lead-in, I think there are a lot of questions that need to be asked or need to be answered.
But, the process of flagging somebody, what happens then? Do you have officers that are assigned to put eyes on them, or is it more informal just saying, hey, that's a guy, we want to know where he is?
Well, I'm sure there's different levels, Guy. In this situation, you know, if he was acting suspicious, he got their attention, somebody should have put eyes on him. Now it's good, you know, they're going to go back and they're going to look at the lead up to this. How many officers, how many Secret Service did they have on the ground? Look, there's only so many Secret Service agents in the country, right? So they can't even, they'll send an advance team in, they'll look at that area, they'll work with local, state, and federal law enforcement to set up the proper protective plan for the dignitary. So,
right,
you know, I think they're going to look, did we have enough people there? Did we look at that perimeter and lock that perimeter down properly? So, as you said, there's a lot of questions. There should have probably been some eyes on that guy.
You know, how do law enforcement agencies, Andy, typically assess and prioritize these threats against high-profile figures?
Well, I think it starts well before that person showing up here, right? They're doing a physical advance. They're looking at social media. One of the things they look at is, you know, who are the local threats that are on you know, on the ground.
On the radar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, these people don't usually just pop up, right?
Right, right.
If they're there,
right.
There are people in the area they're going into. So they're checking these people out. Like, you know, so what are they saying? What are they doing? Who are they hanging around with? And they're going to prioritize those threats. So even before the dignitary gets here, they're already looking at that. Then they're looking, as I said, physically at that location. What are the blind spots? What are the potential areas where a shooter could try to sneak in, right? They're going to set up that perimeter. They're going to set up the security checkpoints to try to choke this off to make sure that somebody doesn't get in. So, you know, there's just a lot of advance work before somebody shows up. Now, obviously, an outdoor venue like what we saw in Pennsylvania is a whole different animal than an indoor venue.
Right.
So that makes it a lot more difficult for Secret Service and law enforcement to set up that perimeter.
But how do you have some sharpshooters on one building and then nobody on this other building that's, 150 yards away?
Right.
150, you know, how does that happen?
Well, that's the question. I mean, I think that's the question that's going to be asked. You know, you guys, we've talked before, and I'm always like, hey, let's get through this and we'll look at the questions. We'll look at what happened. But I think at this point we got to be looking at it right now because, hey, this is – This could happen again, right?
Right.
We have the RNC this week. We're getting right into the meat of the campaign season. So, you know, these are questions we got to be asking right now. How did this happen? How did that building not have eyes, especially when, you know, this guy should have been on somebody's radar. Right? He was spotted before. He was spotted going up the side of that building. Somebody should have had eyes on him.
But, Andy, isn't the challenge he wasn't on the radar when it comes to he didn't have any mental health issues and he wasn't on social media so far that we have known from the reporting. So isn't that tough when they sort of just pop out of nowhere?
So that's what the FBI is doing right now, trying to paint the picture of who is this guy and what caused him. And you're exactly right. I mean, when the lone wolves are the most difficult because they're not talking to other people. They're sitting in their parents' basement. They're on the computer. They're looking at things. You know, they're getting all wrapped up. As I said, they're disenfranchised. This guy fits the profile of a number of these active shooters that we've seen, right? Young white male, disenfranchised,
right.
Bully, whatever. This guy fits that profile. So, you know, spotting a guy like this beforehand is very difficult. My point is, I think his actions that day should have probably put him on the radar immediately.
Right. Very quickly, Andy, when the cops spotted him on the roof, he had to jump down because he was under threat. Is there a universal channel in the comms system there so that everybody can be alerted at once that, yeah, there is a gunman on the roof?
There should be. And that's a post-9/11 fix. There was, you know, people couldn't talk to each other. Most states have a system. They have a channel that they should have all been out.
Okay. Andy Arena, we appreciate your expertise. We'll await the outcome of the investigation, but those are tough questions and good questions to start with. We appreciate your time.
Okay, thank you.
Continue conversation. Where is the line when it comes to political civility? It's a line that we say we aren't going to cross. Does anybody really know where it is? That's next.